Blog Talk Radio.
Some other girls are filling your head with jive. So now you're acting like you don't know that I'm alive. Love you better.
Everybody, that's Mary Wells, the one who really loves you. And this is Delicious Talk. This is your girl, Gail Delicious Johnson. Tonight, me and my co-host, Rhea, are going to have a very special guest. And this is Beth Funderburk, and we'll be talking about adulterous affairs. And she's going to speak about her new novel, Love Torn Asunder. Rhea?
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, and yourself?
Oh, great, thank you. Hi to everybody listening. I'm going to give you a brief background on Elizabeth. Elizabeth began working on the novel Love Torn Asunder in 2009, but she's been writing stories since she was a teenager. She explains about how it was a challenging novel to write, and she told... Sorry, I went blank. I was trying to get to another part of what I was reading. Elizabeth's novel is based in New York, where she lived most of her childhood, and she now resides in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. She's a mother. She's a fiancé. She actually is getting married in September, and I'll be attending her wedding.
Congratulations.
thank you. Professionally, she's a client rep for a toy distributor, and the list goes on and on and on. She's also has done poetry, but her poetry was something that she did on a personal level, and it was something that she wrote for herself. That is now getting some form of public notoriety as well. She was one of the featured art reviews that I did in the June issue of Natty's periodical. And in addition to the review that I did of her book, she also had a poem featured in the poetry session. Now, she did give a small write-up about her book, she doesn't talk about herself much. She says she's the author of Love Torn Asunder, which was released April 30th, and it is a twisted drama centered around an adulterous affair. Trust are broken, friendships are tested, and love is complicated. However, in the end, there is redemption and realization. She really wanted the novel to speak to people and to allow that shaded gray area to come to light. Life is not just black and white. She said her target group is book clubs and groups, and she thinks that this is a very fantastic conversational piece. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Elizabeth Funderburg.
Hello, ladies. How are you this evening?
Hi, Elizabeth. I'm fantastic. I'd like to make a little announcement before we get on with the show. I'm having a problem pulling up the chat room, so if anybody was, you know, trying to get in the chat room, I can't pull it up on my computer. But you can call in. The call-in number is 1-646-652-2877 if you have any questions or comments. Okay.
So how are you this evening, lady?
I'm doing really good. I'm so thankful to be on the show tonight, and I'm excited about talking, about talking to you and Delicious tonight about adulterous affairs and love torn asunder.
Okay, before we even get in to the book, I don't know how to say this. Not what is your opinions of adulterous affairs, because that doesn't sound right. Before we get into the book, I would like to speak on the topic first, but
yes.
I want one of you two to go first.
Okay, go on.
Okay, I can definitely speak my what I feel about adulterous affairs. Because of my experience writing this book for the past couple, a little bit over a year, I definitely dove into each character, and, you know, because this is centered around an affair, I will say that I feel like from the people that participate in these situations, it's, you know, a number of things can contribute to why it all began. It could be because of the woman or the man is just treacherous or spiteful or hateful, or it can be out of loneliness or insecurities. So there's a number of different reasons of why the people that participate in these affairs, why they begin these affairs, and what led up to it.
Well, I can vouch you for basically everything that you said, why an affair would even start from the beginning, you know, possibly, you know, like you had mentioned, loneliness or not getting satisfaction from the partners that you're with, or insecurities, and just, you know, a multitude of things. It could be from something that happened, a tragic moment, or, you know, just different reasons why people get into affairs. And then it could be a person's natural makeup. You know, that's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very anxious to hear, you know, about the characters in your book and, you know, the affairs that went on in your book as well.
Well, I want to introduce the book, if I may. And I would love to introduce it by reading my book review.
Okay, go see that.
And hopefully I won't stumble over it. Love Torn Asunder by Elizabeth Funderburg. Wow. This is an intricately woven and emotionally engaging drama that keeps you totally engrossed. Elizabeth Funderburg has crafted a story that is action-driven and chucked full of emotional tidal waves. For me, it was also educational and tested my beliefs, convictions, and confirm the need for boundaries. Love torn asunder is comprised of a host of characters, but each is essential in their own roles as the author fluidly moves from one course to another. Leslie is the main character and the center of this thoroughly told story of her life, choices, deeds, deception, and the effects of such on her and those that love her. Leslie is a steady and secure woman until an extended separation from the one she loves sends her traveling down a road lined with deception and manipulation, cloaked in caring and friendship. With her feelings of loneliness and her allowing people to get in her ear, thus in her head, she ventures down a road that upheaves her life in ways that could be detrimental to herself, to those that she has built, to what she has built, and to those that love her. Love Torn Asunder is a tale of choice that is a great conversational piece as it taps on so many actions and situations that we face in our everyday lives. I must commend this author on the way she penned this story and the voices of each character as they took the forefront at their given time. Ms. Fonda-Burst did an excellent job in developing these characters and with their own voices. In doing so, it led to an interesting read that kept me totally engrossed and anxious to hear what happened next. Yes, I did say here as the book reads as if the characters are each telling their own story. Torn is an on-point depiction of the book and what can become of the effects, as it is thought-provoking, trying, full of personal growth and exception, and acceptance. Chattown Reading Circle, which happens to be my group, and I are fully anticipating this book, and it is well worth the wait. This is our current read for our group is currently reading this. By the way, Love Torn Asunder ended. I know that there has to be more, and I am fully anticipating it as well. Took everything in me for me not to contact this author with just a few questions. For her first time out of the gate, she did an exceptional job, and I can assure you that she will be around for a long time to come, producing this kind of work. Kudos to Elizabeth Funderburk for a story well told, and I give this premier novel 5 stars easily.
Wow, that's really something. Now, Elizabeth, where did you get the idea to write this book, and what was your purpose of writing it, and how long did it take you to write it?
I started in 2009, and because I've been writing on a personal level for a while, I had story ideas, but I never really thought about publishing a book. And so it was a challenge to me to do so. I started writing the character in the book, which goes by the name, she just goes by her through the entire book. So she was the first character I wrote, and her role in the book is she is married to Kendrick, and Kendrick is having an affair. So that's how it all started. I kind of went with, I named each character, and I gave each character a background, and that's how the book kind of, you know, began and it was formed.
How long did it take you to, you already said that, I forgot the next question I was going to ask. So is anything in your book coming out of any truth, or is it purely fictional?
There is truth in the book, for sure. There is things that in the book that I personally witnessed, but I definitely added things, took away things, and made it a fictional book, for sure. But it definitely, there are situations that stem from truth. So I believe that definitely aided me in writing about it so passionately and being able to speak from each character's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the affair, you didn't mention that. Rhea had mentioned the affair that it was a choice. When you get into an affair, those are choices that you make. And mm-hmm. sometimes those choices can be detrimental to one's health or one's well-being. I really don't want to touch on the topic at this particular time, but I know of a situation where a young lady was having an affair with a married man that cost her life. So some of those choices can be really bad.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't see any good choices of being in an affair when you're married, or especially being married. And then if you're in a relationship, it's not good either. But, you know, being married, that's a whole different level. And, you know, the choice to do that, like you had mentioned, is basically up to those two people that make that decision. But it also can be one person's decision, not knowing what the other person's status is. Because,
yeah.
you know, when a person is messing around with somebody who's married, they may not even know that this person is married.
Uh-huh.
Until something comes up. You see what I'm saying? Because that was the situation with this young lady. And, you know, people can lead double lives. And men are famous for doing that. They get into these relationships, and then when they want to get out of them, they'll throw it up in your face, well, I'm married, or I have a child, or, you know, that's when it comes out. And then it's too late. So I'm very interested to find out what... how your character got involved with this man.
Leslie, who is, she's also in a relationship with the character Lincoln, is the one having the affair with the married man, Kendrick. And Leslie and Kendrick have a past history in the book. It's not a romantic history. That happens when the affair begins. Leslie and Kendrick begin this affair, when you stated earlier in the beginning of when we started talking about adulterous affairs, of how some people are just built that way, that's just in their character. I believe that is true to form for the character of Lincoln. He is built that way, and it definitely, if you follow that throughout the whole story. Leslie's participation really stems from having insecurities about her relationship with Lincoln, and how I was talking about loneliness and her really being led astray and allowing this man that does this often to his wife to allow him into her head, and she put herself in a position to be taken advantage of. And I believe that in the book it doesn't justify having an affair. It just tells the story of this story of how this woman and these people participated in the affair and the consequences surrounding it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rhea?
I had a question, something that I'm very curious on. Sorry, I had to go out and lock my son's car for help. Elizabeth, other than the kid, what came first? Let's say theme behind the book or the characters?
The characters came first. The character of her was the first thing that I really wrote out. And in writing her character, this person is very familiar to me. And in writing that character, I kind of built the story, you know, starting with that character. She is not the main character in the book. Leslie ends up being the main character of the book, but it definitely began there with the woman who was being cheated on by her husband. And his character came next, who's Kendrick.
So you started out writing her, and the story evolved, and what I like to, I love when authors tell me that, as the characters directed them to. Because, that alone is so interesting to me. I remember when The Picture of Beloved was out, and they had asked Toni Morrison, did she go see it? And she said, no, I didn't want those people in my house no more. And people didn't get that. And I got it right off. And I just found that to be very interesting. And then within the last, let's say, 3 years, 4 years, I've been hearing that more and more. And, you know, it's like, wow. One of my favorite authors, Beverly Jenkins, we were talking to her and at a gathering that we were at, and we asked, well, why can't we get this book, or why can't we get this character's book, or why can't we get this? And she said, I don't tell their story. They tell me when that story is to be told. And I'm like, wow. All that's fascinating to me, though. I was always curious about what was the catalyst behind the topic more so than anything, and to know that the characters were the ones that pushed the topic to the forefront is very interesting.
Yeah, that is very true, because in writing this, like I guess I would say in the middle of the process, I knew for sure that I was going to write other books based around other, you know, two of the other characters. And in my mind, I knew that the next book was going to be about her, because I wanted to name her. I wanted to give her a voice. I wanted to explain her story in its entirety. However, when I sat down, I outlined it and I started writing it, Divine was really talking to me. So I kind of shelved that and started writing the other book first, because I just feel I have to get it out. So I definitely understand that, where it's like the characters definitely direct you and lead you to where the story needs, how it needs to unfold.
Yeah, I think that's what probably adds fuel or feeds the way you read some books, and they kind of read like movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that the whole thing is played out, and I think that's probably what part of the fueling behind that. And to me, that makes a really, really good movie. A really, really good book. I know when I read Love Torn Asunder, one of the things that I caught myself doing, I felt like I was in the middle of these characters. I felt like I was witnessing these actions and deeds and stuff take place in front of right in front of my face, like I was there. And many times I had to, I would break out laughing at myself, because I'm having conversations with these inanimate people that don't exist, because ain't nobody in this house but me, but I'm having a full-blown conversation, and I found that to be very funny. But that's why I said it was very engaging.
Right. When a book has you going off like that, that's a good book. You engage with the characters in the book, you can best believe it is.
Man, like I said, I'm not a violent person, but there was a couple of times and I just wanted to get in that book and just dropkick Kendrick. just like they said, hurt him badly. I was like, really?
You know what? And that's so funny, because to hear a few people that read it, it's funny the stance that people take when you write something and you have one feeling about it, and then other people read it, and you know the people they're rooting for. That's what's interesting to me, is to get people's feedback and how they felt about the story as it unfolded when they read it.
I bet you that's fascinating for you, because you probably get to see it conceptualized in so many different ways, and probably some ways that you didn't even, was not even at the forefront of your mind. And,
right.
You know, people talk about this or that, and what's the quote-unquote main, even the topic, what's the biggest thing about it, and this, that, and the other. You're right when you say it's a great conversational piece, because I've had one of my book club members has finished it, and it was so funny because she started it on a Sunday night and she finished it on a Wednesday, and she calls me and she's hollering in the phone, no, because she's talking about the ending,
And I just bust up laughing. I just bust out laughing. I'm like, okay. And she said, and then, you know, she, but along the way, she's telling me when she came to work Monday, she was on page 50. When she went to lunch at 1 o'clock Monday, she was on page 191. So I said, wow, wow. And this is a mother of four children, 10, 8, 6, and 1. Mm. I'm like, how did you have time to read that book that fast? She said, girl, I don't think I've been asleep, but no. It is a very good book.
Well, we do have a call on the line. I'm going to bring them in. Caller 28287, are you there? Caller 287. Okay, I guess they just have their hand up for show. Okay. Okay, you can go on and continue with your questions, Rhea.
That was really the main one I wanted to know. What was the driving force behind it, the characters or the storyline? Now, because we've spoken already, I know that there's another part of this coming out.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the conclusion comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work on. For some reason, I refuse to remember her name.
The next one I'm going to work on is based on Divine.
Divine. For some reason, I know it's a D.
Yeah, well, Divine is her stage name, so she does have her, she goes by her regular name and her stage name in the book. But, yes, the next book will be centered around her, her story. So I'm excited. I'm working on that right now.
So this is going to be
Divine's story.
Yes, it's going to be Divine's story. And I kind of hit a wall because I guess when I'm writing, it does, it reflects on personal, things as well as me, like I said, adding things to make it a fictional story. So I definitely find myself in a place where I don't want to step on any toes by telling the story wrong. So that's where I'm at in my writing process for book 3.
And then the last character of this trilogy is going to be her.
Right. The last book I will write will be based on just the character in Love Torn Asunder that goes by her. She doesn't get a name in the book.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So I plan to name her, and I believe when you read the book, you will see that there's just so much more to the story that needs to be told. So I said the three main women in the book will all have their own, their own book in the series.
Now, so it's going to be three series?
Pardon me?
It's just going to be three series?
It's going to be it's a three-part series, but there's four books because Love Torn Asunder has a which is the book that's out now, and then there's a conclusion that will be out in the next few months. So that book is already done. We're just waiting a little while to put it out.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, because I wrote a sequel to my first book.
Mm-hmm.
If a person never read the first book, would they know what's going on in the second book, or do they have to read the first book to know, what's going on in the second book?
I believe that both books can stand alone, for sure. I think it makes for, obviously, a more interesting read if you read both. Definitely if you read the first book, you're definitely going to want to get the second book, I believe. However, mm-hmm. if you start it with book 2, it will stand alone.
Okay.
So I feel I've read books that were a sequence, and I didn't start because I didn't know when I, you know, read it. Because, you know, people hand you a book, say, oh, you should read this. And you don't know it's a sequence, and then you have to go and backtrack. So it's good for a book to stand on its own, but when then you find out there's other books, then you're scrambling because you want to know the whole story. That happened with me with the Elin Harris book. And so he gave me the book, and I loved it. And then I found out, you know, once you get to the back and you, you know, read over all the extras, that there was more books in the series. So I had to, you know, go back and start from the beginning. But it was a good book on its own.
Now, when after you read Love, Torn Asunder, the conclusion,
mm-hmm.
Is that going to actually wrap up Leslie's and Lincoln's, if that's the case, story, or would these characters still be featured? I know Leslie will be featured in and out of Divine's book.
Yes.
But will some of these same characters, well, I can see where some of them will not be in her, may not be in hers book.
Right.
I can see that. But in Divine's book, it seemed like a lot of the same characters from Love Torn Asunder are going to be present in one way or another.
You know, the conclusion is going to wrap up Lincoln and Leslie's story. It's going to bring, it's going to give all the readers closure on Leslie's story and Lincoln. Leslie is definitely going to be featured in both the other novels. She plays a big part in both the other women's lives and their story. But in the book that I'm writing now about the character Divine, I'm introducing new characters. So there's going to be new characters too. So it's not just simply just the characters that is featured in this book. The way it starts with a brand new character.
That's interesting.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be right back with our guests, Elizabeth Funderburk and Rhea Banks. Okay, we'll be back.
I didn't want to lie.
Welcome back, everybody. That's the Gap Band. And if you have any questions or comments for our tonight's guest, Elizabeth Lundberg, the call-in number is 1-646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh. You got so quiet.
One of the things that I was thinking about as I was listening to the song, in reference to adulterous affairs and things such as that, I made a promise to myself when I was younger that that was not something I was going to ever do. And
mm-hmm.
I'm a couple of years shy of 50, and I've never done it. And I guess people say you can't never say what you want to do. Yeah, I can. However, what you said earlier was true. Sometimes you don't know. And if I didn't, I wouldn't knowingly, let's say it like this, I wouldn't knowingly do that. But what
right.
always got to me, and I saw it happening around me, that's probably why I made that pact with myself when I was younger. But what got to me in regard to that is the detriment that it inflicts on all the people around, not just the,
right.
that couple. You know, you're talking about the breakup of a family a lot of times. You're talking about the embarrassment that, you know, the ridicule, because kids can be cruel, and the things
yep.
that kids say once they get a hold of it. You're talking about the way that other people view and look. It's like it's really, really sad. And I look at today and the state of relationships, and it just scares me to dickens.
Mm-hmm.
It literally does, because it's like, I just sit back. There's too many that don't care nowadays if this other person is married or not.
Yes, that has happened more often, that people enter into these affairs and they already know what's the possible consequence, but they still do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend, and she said she basically loved married men.
Mm-hmm.
I said, girl, I hope you'll never get married.
I had a cousin. That's all she dated for. I can tell you for about a good 15, almost 20 years. That's all she dated, and when asked why, she said, "Cause when I get tired of them, I can get rid of them easy. All I got to
mm-hmm.
do is tell them I'm gonna call their wife." And I'm like, to me, that's just cold. That's just mm-hmm. that whole sentiment is cold. But I went to school with somebody who thought had that same mindset, and in talking to her, it was like, because then I don't have to be bothered with them. When I don't want to be bothered, I don't have to be bothered. And they didn't want the attachment. They didn't want the attachment that came along sometimes with dealing with someone who wasn't attached. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's just
yeah.
that's just empty or bleak to me. I really don't get it, because that same woman that was talking all that mess about not wanting to be attached, when it came to holidays, she was damn near suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I touch on that in the conclusion. It's not always so easy to remove yourself, you know, out of the equation when you are, you know, participating in an affair. It's not always just cut and dry, and you can remove yourself. There's an emotional attachment, and there's always the woman that's being wronged in the situation. So you always have to factor in if she finds out, and you know the consequences behind that. It's not, you know, it's not always so cut and dry.
Right.
But at the end of the day, even when you talk about the affair part, it seems like the women always end up no matter whatever happens, they almost always end up getting that lower end of something. You know, that man, he does, he don't, all, now I'm not saying always, okay, I never say that in every case, but 9 times out of 10, he walks away damn near unscathed and many times ready to move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. Because usually, if you're not the very first, you're definitely not the last.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I wrote a book of short erotic stories. In that book, there's a story about a woman who has affairs with different, you know, a multitude of people, with married men or whatever. And I'm going to play that so you can hear just, you know, what goes on with women who are in insecure relationships.
I'd like to say hello to all the women whose men cheated on them or are still cheating on them. I'm Arizona, the other woman. I'm also known as a whore. I'm not one bit ashamed of my title. At least I'm honest about what I do. Yes, I'm the one you inadvertently sent your husband to and your boyfriend, significant other, fiance, and girlfriend. Yes, I said girlfriend. It's not always about the sex. They come to me when you fake a headache, hang out with your girls up in the club, when you bitch and complain for no reason at all. You accuse your man of cheating when he wasn't. You pull the I don't do that shit with him. That's where I come in. I do it all, and I do it good. Yes, he tells me how much he loves you. Your dumbass doesn't see it until it's too late. I can't tell you the many times he's called out your name while fucking me. He also tells me how delicious I taste compared to you. Yes, he sets the alarm when he comes to see me just to get home before you so there won't be an argument. Everything you do, I don't do. I never have a headache, bitch, or complain. Whatever he wants, I give it to him. I smile, but laugh inside, knowing I'm training him for your ungrateful, ignorant ass. You have him every holiday, but guess what? I see him the day before, and I get my gifts as well. As a matter of fact, I picked out the gifts he gave to you. Remember the night he came home at 3 o'clock in the morning, saying he was at the hospital with a sick friend? So far from the truth, and you ate it up. I told him to tell you that lie. It's one lie that works the best. The time you found my phone number in his pocket and called me, bitch, please. Did you think I was intimidated by your screaming and hollering? All you did was add another nail in the coffin of your dead relationship. When you confronted him, he left. I don't have to tell you where he came. Yes, he came to me, on me, and in me. I've even been in your house when you called yourself punishing him by going home to mommy. Yes, Miss Thing, we fucked in your bed that whole week. I was there when you called asking him was he ready for you to come home. I told him to tell you yes. Woman, you need to wake up. When you deprive a man of sex, trust and believe, he comes to me to have his desires met. I give him everything you don't and then some. If you want lessons, you better not ask him anything about his teacher. How many times have you kissed my cum off his lips? Countless times. You are so sure of yourself. You believed it was your flavor. Not so, sweetie. It was mine. Your husband loves you so much, he won't even let you suck his dick. I know you're sucking somebody else's dick. That's how you undercover freaks are. So he comes to me, and I give him the best blowjobs. He tells me he wishes I was you. I have to remind him he really don't want me to be you. If I was, he would not enjoy the sweet taste of my succulent punani, nor would he experience the ecstasy of uninhibited sex if I was you. You complain about the dumbest things, telling him he don't love you because you had a baby. Ooh, that's why he gave you a baby. He loved you. You don't take me out anymore. You knew his job downsized, and he took a cut in pay just to keep his job to provide for you and his baby. You an ungrateful asshole. He got so fed up with you and your complaining. Yes, you drove him right into my arms. All he did at first was talk about how much he loved you and wanted the relationship to continue, how you deprived him, how you verbally and mentally badgered him from sunup to sundown. He tells me how you sniff his dick and check his drawers for cum stains. You're pitiful. The same soap he has at home, I got it here for him. You can sniff the skin off his spear, but you won't smell my fragrance. You need to give him credit. He's not stupid. He's just fed up with you and your bullshit. Instead of you always accusing him of cheating, ask him why he keeps coming back to you, you moron. I'll tell you why. Because he loves you and your low self-esteem issues, all of your insecurities, and everything about you he loves. You are so stuck on stupid you can't see the forest for the trees. Oh, I almost forgot this one. Remember when you followed him to the restaurant? Yeah, that was the day you made a complete fool out of yourself. He introduced me to you as his boss and said it was a business luncheon. Yes, it was a luncheon afterwards. Ha, I was the dessert. You see, he never went back to work that day. I'm not his boss. I'm your boss. I control your relationship with your permission. After all, you sent him to me. I'm not in love with your man. I love what I do for your man. It gives me such pleasure when he tells me he wants a wife like me. Someone who listens to him, understands him, doesn't nag him, and gives him love without restrictions. My name is Arizona. I'm always warm. What gets me hot? Ask your man. All rights reserved. No republication of this material in any form or medium is permitted without express permission of the author.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. That was great.
Yeah, that's in your book?
Yeah,
a book of delicious erotic short stories. But, you know, it's basically for women who are in relationships and they are so insecure until they actually push their man out there. You know, because there are some good men who want to love their wives, but just like this woman, she nagged him, badgered him, and, you know, had low self-esteem issues. She couldn't believe that he loved her and wanted only her. So she just basically forced him out into another woman's arms, you know. Yes. And, like, when he first hooked up with the woman, it was basically he always talked about his wife, you know, how he wanted to be with her, how he loved her, you know. And then it just got to a point that he couldn't take it anymore, and he just started, you know, accepting what this woman had to offer, what he wanted from his wife. And those incidents actually do happen.
They do. It definitely does happen. A woman can definitely drive her man away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because then you have the men who basically are cheaters anyway. But, you know, when you have a good man and you don't know how to hold on to him, or, like, you have your little insecurities, and that will drive a man away.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, if you say it enough and you're so insecure enough, I feel like they are put in the predicament where they're like, well, she's already accusing me. It's in her mind, it's already been written. It's already been done.
Mm-hmm. What was the case in your character's book? Why was this guy cheating on his wife?
Kendrick was cheating on his wife. His wife did have a lot of insecurities. But, like we were talking about, it was in Kendrick's makeup. Kendrick was this person. He saw this
in the people that he was around, and he was just this person. And he, I don't believe that he truly loved his wife to begin with. She did have a lot of insecurities. She did nag him. He does talk about that in the book. And the fact that he went to Leslie because she provided some, she provided something else. And it didn't start with a sexual encounter. You know, it led up to that.
Right, right. And that's basically sometimes how it is with a man who's truly in love with his wife, you know, or a man who wants things to work out with his wife, but didn't get so overwhelming him being in the presence of another woman, and this other woman is comforting him. You know, so one thing may lead to another. A kiss will lead to a lot of things, you know.
Right.
Or embracing somebody can lead to a lot of things. So
right.
That's basically, you know, what that little story that, you know, I had wrote about was about.
Right. In this book, Kendrick basically, it doesn't begin on the physical because Kendrick sees the fact that Leslie is ultimately in love with the man that she's with, Lincoln. And he kind of waits it out and baits her, and he finds the right vulnerable moment to pounce when she, in the midst of her insecurities and being vulnerable about her relationship, and he waits for that exact moment, and he goes in, and he's able to get, you know, inside of her head. And, you
right.
know.
Well, can you tell us where the where your book can be purchased and how people can, you know, catch up with you? Do you have a website? And
the title is Love Torn Asunder, and it's available online at all major book retailers, so Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million. It's also available on my website. Through my website, there's no shipping and handling charges, and that is www.literaryliz.com. That's LiterarayLiz.com. All the updates on the blog talk shows that I do, I have my reviews posted there and the synopsis posted on my website.
Okay. Do you also, are you on any other communities on the internet that
yes,
you'd like to give out? Facebook, MySpace, or?
I'm on Facebook, and Facebook is just my name, Elizabeth Funderburk. I am also on Twitter, and Twitter is E-L Funderburk. That's E-L-F-U-N-D-E-R-B-I-R-K. What other communities? I'm on Goodreads, and it's all under my name, Elizabeth Funderburk. And I'm also on Shelfari, so you can find me on all of those places.
So it's best to Google you then, huh?
I also have a blog that I started in 2009, and that is writingtorn.blogspot.com, and I update that at least twice a month, and it's, in the beginning, it's all about what I went through to get this book written, edited, published, and all that, you know.
Did you self-publish the book? You did.
I did.
You have a publisher.
I worked with an independent publisher, Emerald Star Press, and my book is also available on the Emerald Star Press website, which is emeraldstarpress.net. So, and it's available on Kindle and Nook. But, yeah, you can
get
me
there. So, how do you feel? This is your first book?
This is my first published book, yes.
Okay. So what genre are you going to continue writing? Are you going to continue writing the genre that you're writing? Are you going to cross over? Or do you just, what particular genre are you going to be writing in?
This is contemporary. It's definitely a drama-based book. And the books that come are in this series will all be in that genre. I feel most comfortable writing in this genre. Eventually, I hope to, you know, get better and improve as time goes on. And I would love to be able to branch out in later years. I really just want to concentrate on getting this series done. And then after this series, I really would love to see what else I can do.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas at all, or have anything kind of, you know, just put a little spark in your head or anything?
You know, I have such a passion for romance novels, so I would like to see if I can go in that direction, because I love like some like Beverly Johnson and Adrienne Bird. So I think, you know, I will definitely dive into that once I have, you know, completed this series and got all these characters, their stories told and them out of my head, and I can concentrate on something else. I would love to see what I can do.
Okay. Well, we have less than 3 minutes to go. Rhea, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I think I talked undone this one.
Elizabeth, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I want to thank you and Rhea for having me on the show today. I really appreciate the support and the opportunity. And I just want people to go to my website and look at my website and see what I have going on and what I have coming up in the future.
Okay, can you repeat those websites once again, please?
Yes, my website is www.literaryliz.com. And my book is also for sale on there. And my blog, which is called Trials, Tribulations, and Torn, that is at www.writingtorn.blogspot.com.
Okay. Okay, everybody, there you have it. That's Elizabeth Funderburg, her first novel, Love Torn Asunder. You can get it at her on her most major internet stores and her blog. Her website, you can keep up with her on her website, and she's also on Facebook. And we do appreciate you coming in, and we're going to have you back as soon as your second book come out, or, you know, you just stop by anytime.
Yes, the second book is going to be very interesting. I say in that book, that is when it really hits the fan, so I'm excited for that one to come out.
Me too.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for coming on with us. And one of the things that I hope as people that maybe if we do a little bit more discussing of topics such as this, we can possibly obliterate them and do away with them, because the lessons, it's a rolling stone. Those lessons are steady being seen and taught. And
right.
So it keeps on going.
Right. Okay, ladies, with that being said, thanks, Rhea. Excuse me for being my co-host every Friday.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Excuse me. And our next show is going to be that's next Friday. How to bring closure to a broken relationship. I appreciate everybody who came out. Sorry the chat room wasn't open, but that's on Blog Talk. And you ladies have a beautiful night. I'll talk to you next week.
You
good night,
well.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Rhea.
Good night.
What's so good about your body?